You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, for the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day, available on iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, here with you all on this Thursday. Need to recap this game from last night, the 120-102 loss to the Minnesota Timberwolves at home in the Smoothie King Center. This game is notable for the ejection that Anthony Davis had, coming a day after LeBron James was ejected for the first time in his career. So certainly something maybe is just going on with the refs as a whole. So we're going to talk about the AD ejection. I'm going to recap the game for you and want to talk a little bit maybe deeper about the roster construction. So we've got a lot to cover, and we're just going to dive right into it in today's edition of Locked On Pelicans. So as I said, the game was notable for the first career ejection for Anthony Davis, and the ejection came with about like four and a half minutes, 4:20 left in the first half. So in the second quarter is when this occurred, and the Pelicans at the time were only down 3, 46-43, and this is after running out to a 10-2 lead to start the game, which quickly evaporated once the Wolves kind of got hot and the Pelicans just kind of came out looking a little sloppy. But we'll talk more about that in the recap. But again, first career ejection for AD, and this is pretty uncharacteristic for him. He gets frustrated, we've seen, with refs at times, but never to the point where he's going to pick up two technical fouls in the span of about 15 to 20 seconds and earned his first career ejection. Was furious and had to be held back after charging at the refs after the second one in the ejection. The pool reporter spoke to Rod Walker of The Advocate after, saying, look, after, you know, a play where he didn't get a foul call, he kind of went towards the ref, cursing, screaming, pointing. You're not allowed to do that. You're going to get a tech. He did. And then after that, did the same thing. Went right after the ref, cursing, screaming, pointing and doing all of that, and got a second one. And that's what they're going to do. And so it's a little uncharacteristic to see him that frustrated with refs during a game. So again, surprising in that sense. It was funny because Boogie tried to calm AD down and help him just one leave the court. So this team and their best players had their roles of fire and ice reversed. But, you know, I've talked about this recently where I think we're seeing a kind of a stretch of bad refs and bad calls against the Pelicans. I really don't like to talk about the refs a whole lot in games, because for the most part, everything kind of evens out and nothing really hinges on one play of a missed call or a bad call. However, this one was bad, and if you look at the refs on the night, they were kind of quick to call fouls against the Pelicans, but not really in the Pelicans' favor. The Pelicans had 11 free throw attempts total on the night. There was 19 for Minnesota. The Pelicans, with their 11 free throw attempts on the night, they averaged 21.6 on the season. So it's significantly less, about half less than what they normally average. And, you know, after Anthony Davis was ejected, maybe it was the refs were in their head, or they realize they're really going to need to try very hard to kind of make up the deficit of losing your best player. Davis, by the way, who sticks it to Towns every single game they played, with when he was ejected, about 4:20, 4:30 left in the game, had 17 points already in the first half, so was having a monster game. And after that, really, the Pelicans became very sloppy. Even after that 10-2 start became very sloppy, because the team had 8 turnovers in the second quarter. That's going to make any offense look bad. But more than that, they just completely lost their composure. They seem more intent with trying to get the right calls and everything from the ref instead of just trying to go out and play their game. They were bad on defense, lackadaisical, not really getting set, letting Minnesota just get into their sets with ease and not even having to work hard for much offense. And it's just overall disappointing is maybe the way to put it. with this ejection. As I said, and as we all know, Davis really likes to stick it to Towns due to some not really bad blood, but kind of joking bad blood, maybe is the best way to put it. And all of a sudden, now he wasn't able to. And this is a game, especially when you look back at the game against Minnesota previously in the Smoothie King Center, that the Pelicans should have come out and won and had everything really kind of in place to probably do it in the second half. And then Davis leaves the game because he loses his composure. In a game you know you need to win, you've got to beat good teams to get into the playoffs. The Pelicans have basically two-ish wins, if you want to count OKC somewhere in there as a good win. And they haven't just been doing it. And you have a chance to go out to, you know, at home after a bunch of days rest when Minnesota's playing on the second night of a back-to-back where almost all their starters played over 38 minutes in the game the night before, and you can't take advantage of it because of a stupid ejection. And we talked about it. You've got Cousins getting the technical fouls recently, is leading the league in that. Davis, I don't think that's rubbing off on him or anything like that, but again, composure. And we've seen this team have pretty good composure in the face of almost not quite adversity, but in the wake of one of their best players leaving the game, whether it's, you know, Cousins being ejected, whether it's Davis leaving the game injured or not playing it at all. Look at that Portland game and that Sacramento game early on in the season. They fought back on the road in Portland, which is a very tough place to play and win, and almost came back despite losing Davis, who was out with injury. And then you saw them storm back, led by Cousins, in the game against Sacramento. So it was disappointing to see. You got to know better than that. Just be a little bit smarter. It's one thing to yell back at a fan who yells some obscenities at you that's uncalled for, but a ref you know is going to kind of tee you up and maybe eject you. And if you're Alvin Gentry, you need to realize your player is a little hot under the collar here. You need to either calm him down or you're the one that needs to get ejected. This team can survive if Alvin Gentry heads to the locker room. He's a coach. He's not out there playing. I don't know if they're going to be able to survive very much when Anthony Davis gets ejected. And you saw it. Again, this team was lost their composure. Minnesota immediately goes on a 12-0 run to end the quarter, I think. To end the quarter almost. And then the Pelicans go in with a 14-point deficit, something like that, into the locker room at halftime. And by then, it was too much for them to just overcome. Gotta know better, because this game changed the second Anthony Davis was ejected. So coming up here on Locked On Pelicans, I am going to just recap this game and run through a couple various things for you with it, because we are seeing some better play from some of these Pelicans players. And then in the final segment here, do want to talk about the bench play and look at some of the rankings with that and maybe a move or two they need to tweak internally to try and get some more consistent play from this team. So while the main story of the game is Anthony Davis being ejected, the game did go on and they still played some basketball, and we should talk about it. And really the other story of the night other than the ejection has to be Drew Holiday, who had a very standout game for the Pelicans, played 38 minutes last night and rediscovered his shooting form, hopefully, and hopefully it carries over. He finished 5 of 11 on the night from 3, 45.5%. 27 total points, was 10 of 20 from the field, so 50%. So getting that shooting percentage back up after he really struggled with that on the season so far. 27 points in that many minutes, very good, and on that many shot attempts as well, is what you want to see out of him. And you could see this offense, especially getting out to the 10-2 start, came out looking very aggressive. Again, Anthony Davis, prior to his ejection, had 17 points. In the first half, he was on pace for an absolutely monster game. And this has to do with what the coaching staff said to him. You know, after the game, Alvin Gentry said, "We told Davis to get to the rim," and the Pelicans as a team were looking to pound the ball inside. They finished with 44 points in the paint, which is 4 more than Minnesota, who put up 40, and Minnesota likes to score in the paint. They're not a three-point shooting team. That was their biggest knock, bigger than the Pelicans' knock on them, was do they have enough shooting around the rest of these players? They might not. But the Pelicans outdid them in the area and the aspect of the game that they wanted to do. So they came out looking to be aggressive, getting to the hoop. Holiday was showing that as well, getting to the rim, trying to score inside while also realizing he's going to be able to make a number of threes. So that was good for him. And again, this a lot of it comes down to Rajon Rondo being out there. Rondo's stat line on the night doesn't look good. He just had 3 points, one made three for him. Didn't really look to score and look to distribute. 7 assists. And doesn't seem quite impactful, but he, in just taking over the ball handling duties, has freed up Holiday just to do other things. And you're starting to see the difference that it makes and the kind of ease in which it's allowing Holiday to kind of score and step up. And if you check out LockedOnPelicans.com, Alex Ferrari has an article up there recently, I think it was from Tuesday, on how the Pelicans have been scoring with Drew Holiday and the ways he's doing it differently now that he doesn't need to worry about being the distributor. So it makes it, you know, a good game from him. Cousins had a bit of a subdued night, just 17 points. His shooting form from three has been struggling, and we'll probably talk about this in the future. 1 of 6. He's more reverting back to his career numbers, which is like a 33% three-point shooter and not the hot shooting big man we saw to start this season and to end last year. Again, this is like the definition of regression to the mean. He was likely not going to stay this hot all season. Now that he's kind of thinks he is and he's shooting a ton of threes, it's leading to some inefficient scoring nights from him. 17 points on 15 shots. 6 of those were from three, of which he made 1. Maybe they need to try and get him away from that to really only taking those threes in certain situations and to find another way to score, whether that's by driving, whether that's by getting rondoed, because Holiday's not going to make the entry passes, the ball to him on the low block. They need to do a few things because this is where it really is starting to hurt the team a little bit. Darius Miller had another, I don't want to call him big nights, but very useful nights. He scored 12 points. I don't think you can call that huge necessarily, but 4 of 7 from three. He was 4 of 10 overall, so he took 3 non-threes. But basically the 4 of 7 shooting, the dude's hot right now from behind the arc. Teams are respecting it. You saw them actually defending him and trying to run him off the three-point line last night. And he still managed to hit a number of attempts. He's really only giving you shooting right now, but that's okay, I think, because he can definitely handle that scoring burden at times for the Pelicans. In a bit of a disappointing game, Etuan Moore scored a total of 5 points, 2 of 8 from the field. And this is what we're going to talk about in the next segment here after the reset, which I'll transition to in a moment. But you got to wonder if he's right to be in the starting role. This bench for the Pelicans hasn't been providing a lot of scoring punch, and they need to kind of do something to mix it up. Darius Miller and his shooting really comes into play when he's out with the starters. Maybe he should just be out with the starters already and not coming off the bench for this Pelicans team. So before I get to that bench and talking about them a little bit, don't forget the Pelicans have a couple games coming up. They do play the Portland and Jazz. I forget the order of it. But by the way, listen to Locked On Trailblazers. Listen to Locked On Jazz. You don't know a lot about these two teams. They're coming up on the schedule. The Pelicans are going to be fighting with them for playoff seeding, playoff spots potentially the entire season. Tune into those podcasts. Get everything you need to know. Get caught up about the teams the Pelicans will be playing. So when I talked about this game preview on the podcast yesterday, I mentioned this is one of those things where the Pelicans need to get some consistent bench play because Minnesota has a number of guys that are going to be able to put up double figures against you. And on the night, I think they had 7 guys in double figures where the Pelicans had just 4. That can be a big difference depending on, you know, if a guy's at like 9 versus 10, then it's not. But you guys understand what I mean here. So I wanted to dive a little bit deeper into the bench numbers and take a look at some of them. And through a little bit of research, you can kind of see certain things that jump out at you. So when you go to, it's on hoopstats.com, you can kind of sort by starting lineups, benches, and seeing how many, you know, points on average they're giving you sometimes per game. The Pelicans actually rank with the starters getting the 4th most offense out of them, and they're behind Houston, Philly, and Golden State, just ahead of Minnesota. So the starting lineup's working really well for the Pelicans. They're shooting well, they're scoring a lot, and obviously your starters are going to outscore your bench. But when you get to the bench production is when it starts to drop. But we're going to need to put some clarification on some of these numbers. The Pelicans actually have, in terms of scoring, the third worst bench. This site's claiming they're getting 27 points per game. I think it's actually a little bit lower, depending on where you look and how they're kind of evaluating it. But third worst bench. And I don't think, in terms of scoring, simply scoring, and I don't think anyone's going to necessarily disagree with this. We've seen some games where they get under 10, 12 bench points total. And it's really the starters who are being relied upon. So again, no huge surprise there when it comes to this. And when you look at some of these other top teams, we said Houston was number one when it comes to starter scoring. Well, they rank sixth worst when it comes to bench scoring. Minnesota, who's right below the Pelicans, also in the bottom seven of teams here. So is Oklahoma City. So is Philadelphia, who also had a high scoring starting lineup. So maybe this kind of goes hand in hand. You have a lot of starters who are out there scoring, playing extra minutes, getting those points up. And this doesn't adjust for pace. This doesn't adjust per 100 possessions or anything like that. It's just pure scoring. So again, these can be very misleading statistics. That's why you need to look at the opponent's bench scoring against you, which is maybe going to give us a better idea of where the Pelicans kind of rank in this. And when you do it, and it's the NBA bench opposing things, the Pelicans are actually still third worst. Opposing benches put up on average 40.3 points against the Pelicans. Compare that to the 27 points that they put up. They're getting outscored by 13 points when the bench units are out there. That's a big deal. And when you look at this game against Minnesota, well, they had a number of guys in double figures, including, let me see, one, two, it was two of their guys. As I'm getting like multiple text messages coming through kind of, on my phone, they have multiple guys putting up 10 points who are kind of being subbed in with the bench players here when they kind of go through this rotation. The Pelicans aren't getting that. So the question then becomes, if you've got Darius Miller, who's putting up 12 points with the bench, why would you want him starting? Well, when he gets out there, he's not playing with a bench unit. He's playing mainly with the starters as a sub or two. I say just make that top lineup even more efficient. Put him in there. Each one more, now with Rondo in there, has got kind of his role reduced a little bit. He hasn't been scoring particularly well, other than really one game over the past stretch. Let him run that second unit a little bit with him and Jameer Nelson and let them carry the scoring load. There's enough between those two that they can probably make it work with Dante Cunningham, Tony Allen, Darius Miller in there for a little bit. And also you have one of the bigs in Davis or Cousins. I think it's time to maybe look at this and make a change to give this bench unit a little more scoring punch with each one more coming off of the pine and getting some more minutes with the reserves. Because when you look at these rankings, being outscored by 13 points, being bottom in your bench scoring and being bottom in opposing bench scoring, not a good thing. Something needs to change because this will eventually burn you overall. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. Disappointing loss for the team. They really probably could have won this one, and then losing their composure, not getting the bench scoring, AD getting ejected is just overall, you got to be better a little bit. That's all it's going to take to kind of reel off some wins against very good NBA teams. Don't forget Vox and the Hound, our own Rory Calais of Locked On Pelicans is the lead guitarist there, playing this Friday, December 1st at the Hi-Ho Lounge. Show starts at 10. The bill is going to be Rotary Downs. They've got Metronome in the City and Vox and the Hound, who's going to be the third act playing, should be on around 11:30. I'm going to be there. It's in my neighborhood. I'm excited. It's going to be a lot of fun. Hope you all come out. Support local music as well. Support one of your LockedOnPelicans.com writers. And don't forget to check the site out. Bookmark it, give it a look every day, because we've always got stuff on there Monday through Friday for you all. So thank you all for listening. As always, I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, and I'll be back with you all tomorrow.